It's Tuesday, February 19th, and you are in bed with Rob and Alex.
I'm Alex.
I'm Rob.
And, you know, I was going to say this was supposed to be an experiment just on Valentine's Day, but I feel like we kind of got cheated out of the second week of our experiment because we were too sick to do it. So we're going to, I don't know, continue it maybe till the end of February and see how we feel like it's going. Does that seem good?
Yeah. I think that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, we all got sick. And
well, it's not completely coincidence because the one challenge I've been having with this process or this experiment is that after we've gotten into a big yak, I have a hard time winding down and going to sleep, and so I've been getting kind of progressively more sleep deprived. So I'm gonna try and really consciously avoid that, and if we can make this work and still ensure I get a night's sleep, then I'm all for it. All about the sleep.
And those of you who aren't parents, that's the single most important thing you can ever take away from this podcast.
That's
a piece of information.
For sure. So you, what did you do? You had a talk today at lunch, and I don't even know exactly who you were talking to.
Yeah, it was the BC Technology Industry Association. They were having a marketing and sales conference.
They're kind of aren't they sort of the trade association lobby group folks for technology? But not just IT, right? A whole bunch of different kinds of technology.
That's right. It's kind of across the board, but a lot of IT. Very heavy on folks near and dear to our hearts. And they had a luncheon where people would gather and have 20-minute conversations with subject area experts.
Oh.
And there were about a dozen of us at each table.
How cute is that?
And I got to be the subject area expert on social media. And what was really interesting about this is, you know, if we'd been having these conversations even a year ago, even with folks in the high-tech sector, I think a lot of the stuff around Web 2 and giving up control of the message and enabling your users to carry on the conversation and seeing it as a conversation, I think that that would have met a lot more hostility and skepticism. And this time around, I didn't see that. I think our stranded evangelists have started hooking up.
Well, I don't know if I buy that. I mean, I think that there's a broader understanding of what Web 2 involves and the idea of giving up message control. But I think at the same time, people are just starting to discover what that actually means at a kind of organizational level. And I don't think it's gotten any easier, in fact, to shift gears.
Well, I think that you have more people on the gear holding the gear shift handle when you're trying to stretch that metaphor to the breaking point.
I was gonna say.
But what I was finding was that some of the fears that prevent people from making that shift, they're still there. But they're phrased a lot more acutely, and they're a little bit harder to ignore nowadays. You know, concerns that you are handing your competition a real advantage by being as transparent as a lot of folks are about, you know, internal business processes or what have you.
And I was just thinking, and it's funny you put it as competitive advantage. I mean, you know, I heard it recently from someone in terms of, you know, kind of campaign vulnerability, right? That as an NGO, if you're out there with what's going on inside your organization, then, you know, the quote-unquote opposition can come and dig their teeth in.
Yeah. Well, and the more adversarial the space that you're in, I think the more that's a legitimate concern.
Okay, that's it. I'm closing down the blog.
Yeah, because it's just such a cutthroat business that we find ourselves in.
Okay, can I make a really weird analogy here?
Yeah, sure.
So,
wouldn't be the first of the evening.
Well, I found myself thinking about the whole Clinton-Obama thing, which is that, you know, there's a risky strategy and there's a safer strategy. And this is no time to play it safe. That
mm-hmm.
that given where the world is at right now, playing it safe is the most dangerous thing you can do. And that's true if you're in business. It's true if you're an NGO. And it's true if you're a voter.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah, of course it's risky to put yourself out there, put your organization out there, be transparent, be authentic. But, you know, that's what the world needs, and I think it's also what individual consumers and citizens are increasingly looking for. And if you're not prepared to be out there, then you don't really have much to offer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of what we talk about often comes down to the values that underlie even a business's mission and reason for being. You're in business, yes, to sell widgets or to sell services, but at some level you believe that that is improving things in some way, that you're making it easier for people to do something, you're making it easier for people to connect, you're making business more efficient, which means that there's more wealth to be created in the world. And finding those underlying values and acting on them, I think, can be very powerful. Do you think it's just, though, a sense of urgency over the state of the world, or is there a deeper search for meaning that's going on, too?
Well, I mean, I think there's this, I mean, I'll go to the whole Putnam Bowling Alone thing, right, that we're living a kind of, I don't know, I'm always suspicious of any kind of, like, anything that sounds like kind of end times talk, because every, you know, there's such a tendency of human beings to see their historical moment as the culmination point. But I do think we're reaching a point where the kind of trajectory of industrial and media society, mediated society, we are experiencing the internal contradictions of capitalism, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the system is breaking. People are, on the one hand, you know, super connected, and on the other hand, really disconnected. And there's just so many layers of crap in between. I was going to say layers of experience, but it actually is the opposite of experience. Layers of simulation between people, you know. Layers of media, layers of, you know, consumption, just busyness. It's just, it's a very hard, like, the modern life is very alienating for people. And so, yeah, I do think people are trying to find some experience of authenticity, whether it's, you know, being more spiritually grounded or trying to spend more time in nature, or in the case of, you know, the time they do spend online, trying to have it be more authentic, more human, more interconnected, more organic and less sculpted.
Yeah. I hope they're finding that.
I don't know. I think there are moments. I think you get, I mean, I do, this is kind of what I was writing about in the Soul of the Internet thing, right? I think you get out what you put in. I think there's a lot of bullshit on Facebook and comparing your friends and, you know, I don't know. Comparing your friends is all very well and good if you're comparing it on important things like who has better hair. But, you know, it's, yeah, there's meanness, right? Like, who's hotter? I mean, again, fine if I'm on the hotter side. but it's just, yeah, I mean, I think people do have moments of real connection online. I mean, it's weird how people, you know, who was that guy who saw on the Daily Show the other day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't remember his name. I think it may be Lee Siegel.
Yes. Somebody Siegel.
Yeah.
Dude who does not like the internet. And he's got some book titled something like, "Hi, I'm the Dude Who Does Not Like the Internet."
Except at the very end of the interview, where he seemed to be saying that there, you know, actually there's some good to the internet, but that's all the time we have.
Well, but also, I mean, I think that, right, the whole notion of the debate pushes people into the pro or con camps, and he's kind of raising some very valid, I think, concerns, actually, about how the internet works. What was that apropos of? Oh, just that, I guess it's like you get out what you put into it thing, and that it's there's just a lot of like really negative behavior out there, but there is also, you know, in theory, opportunities for people to form deep connections. But I think it's just not how people are using it a lot of the time. I don't know. Do you have any nice happy stories about, you know, internet connections today?
Internet connections today.
You know, I had one. It's
just
so small, but a new colleague, I guess she's not that new, but Rochelle Grayson, right, from Donut Group. I noticed I was online tonight, and she had Twitter/Facebooked her status that she was psyched about Obama's win in Wisconsin. It's just like such a small thing, but I mean, Rochelle, somebody who we're not, you know, we haven't been working that closely together recently. We're just starting to work together, and it's just really a nice feeling to have that sense of, like, common space. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what I'm liking on Facebook? It's a little thing, and at times it feels a little bit cheesy, but it's the birthday notifications.
I love the birthday notification.
And I love being able to write to somebody and...
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to...
I was going to say, it's like, stop it. Now I know whose birthday I'm missing. It is nice, though.
Yeah. And just, it's just a little connection. But it means something.
Well, I'm going to have to go and check whose birthday is tomorrow so I can send them a, I don't know what, a virtual eco cupcake. I think we should go see.
Okay, well, my virtual little eco cupcake.
They don't have to share all our instruments. Night-night.
Good night. Good night, Internet.